just can't wait to get on the 405 freeway? Why not start your morning with a different perspective? Join an influencer's men's meeting before you get your Starbucks and launch onto the freeway. There are groups that meet in the mornings in Garden Grove, Fullerton, La Crescenta, Long Beach, and Irvine, California. Get connected and start your journey to becoming a man of God. Find us on Facebook or on the web at influencerswest.org.
Good morning. Merry Christmas. Have you had time to think about it yet? Get into the Christmas spirit. Well, we're going to have a time in 2 weeks. We're going to have a special Christmas morning. You guys remember that we have a traditional visit from Jana Alara on the two Fridays before Christmas. But this year she's not going to be able to make it. She's got some vocal cord issues, and the doctor told her she better rest her voice during the holidays, which I'm sure is hard for her like it is for Sam. We're going to have a special mystery guest that'll be here that morning. And then she's the 10-year-old daughter of one of our guys, Doug Steiner, and his wife Heidi. And she's going to be here in 2 weeks. She sings up in Hollywood. She's in Christian movies. Just one of our little girls. And she's going to come and bless our hearts with our band, along with our band, with a special Christmas time on the 18th. And then, as Bill said, we'll be meeting not on Christmas Day and New Year's Day, which fall on Friday, but we'll be meeting the day before. So we'll be meeting Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. We'll be right here, as we always are when Christmas falls on Friday. You know, I've been going through a series with you guys about being excited about Jesus Christ and sharing with you how excited I am about Christ and five reasons why. I'm not going to test you with that this morning. I know you probably hadn't had enough coffee to be that sharp to remember what the five reasons are, so I'm going to give you a little help. First reason was I'm excited about Christ just because He's forgiven me of every sin I've ever committed, past, present, and future. Amen?
Amen.
So if you can't get excited about that, that's all we need, really. That's enough.
We want more.
But then there's more. The second reason was character, that He's committed to build His character, His give me His nature and develop it and nurture it in my life so that I could learn to become one with Him, just like Him. Which is that third question we ask guys before they put on a wristband. You want to spend the rest of your life learning to become just like Jesus. So I'm excited about that. We spent a couple of weeks on that. And today I want to share a third reason with you. Why I'm excited about being a Christian. You know, a guy looks for a reason, purpose in life. Some guys really want to leave a legacy. That's big on their agenda. They want to be remembered for something significant. And you know, when I came to know Christ, I got a whole new purpose for my life. He gave me a new meaning. I looked up that word purpose. And one of the definitions is meaning. Meaning means that there's a special significance to your life. Now, most guys feel like they're unworthy on spiritual turf in God's presence. They don't do enough. We've talked about that many times. Don't read enough, study enough, give enough, serve enough, know enough. And so we just don't do enough. We always feel like we're not measuring up. And you know what? We probably, if you want to measure yourself by the standard that might be the world's standard, not God's, then you're probably not doing enough. But how would you ever know if you are doing enough if you're on that basis? I mean, at what point do you know you read your Bible enough? Or you prayed enough? Or you gave or tithed enough? So if that's your standard, you're always going to feel unworthy. So we're going to have to find our worthiness and our purpose and our meaning, special significance, maybe in another place. Not in what we do, but who we are. There's another meaning, it's significance. Significance means the quality of being important or having notable worth. Now, I don't know any guy that wouldn't say, well, yeah, I wouldn't mind being important. We've taught many times, though, that what's been going on in our country has been an emasculating of men. It's been marginalizing men, relegating men to a place of dishonor and unimportance in our culture. And that's going on all the time. There are three commercials that I see when I watch TV, and I have to change this commercial every time because it's just making men look like scared little girls. It's making men look like they don't know anything. And in all of those commercials, the woman or the wife is the strong one, the smart one, and the men are not. So I'm changing my insurance because of that. Because one of them is an insurance company. I'm just going, I'm going to get with somebody else. And if they do something like that, and you know, I may be overly sensitive. I don't know that I am. Because if you're working with men, you know how difficult it is for men to see themselves as significant or worthy. And it's absolutely crucial that we do. But we can't go measuring ourselves by what the world says we are. We can't go measuring ourselves and our meaning and our purpose by who someone else thinks, and usually not even by what we think, because we think wrongly on a number of occasions when we're trying to figure out who we are and why we're here and where we're going and how we're going to get there. See, a man needs focus. Purpose has a lot to do with focus. Until you know what your purpose is, you don't know what really to focus on that's really going to benefit you. That's going to be on, and I'm talking to a Christian guy here. I'm going to assume that you know that as a Christian guy, you want to be on the same page God's on. Amen? You want to be doing what God's doing. You want to be in the center of God's will, and that takes focus. Focus means a main purpose of interest. It's a point of concentration. Now, if you're going to do something and you're going to accomplish something, you're going to have to concentrate on it. You're going to have to be there. You know, you've heard it say, if you're going to be there, be all there. And so a man needs focus for his life. He needs a reference point. Right now, we need it more than ever. We need a reference point that we can look at in the chaos that's going on in the world today and right here in our own neighborhood here a couple of days ago. And we need a reference point to make sense of all this. I mean, that's what people are asking. They're just asking, you know, what's going on? On one of the news shows, there was four talking heads, guys and gals, and they're battering back and forth. And the question comes up, what can we do about this? How can we stop this from happening? And all the talking they came to the conclusion that we can't stop it. There's no way to stop this. And this gal says, well, if we can't trust the military and we can't trust the police and we can't trust the government to protect us, then who's going to protect us? And I just thought, man, I know who's going to protect you. I know where that's going to come from. He's a very present help in time of need. My God. See, the silver lining in all this is people are starting to ask the right questions. Who can save us? Who can protect us? Where can we run? Where's a refuge? We have the answer. We have a purpose in that answer. It also means intent. The thing you plan to do or achieve. Clearly formulated or planned. What do you plan to do? I mean, what's on your agenda? What are you going to get done? We're coming up on a new year, and most of us are old enough to know that we're done with all that New Year resolution stuff. We don't ever keep them, and we forget about them. And so, you know, it may last a day or a week or a month, but, you know, that doesn't work. We need something we can give ourselves to that we can be intentional to do. Intentional means you're planning to do it. It's not going to surprise you. You're not just waiting to stumble on it. You're intentionally planning to get it done. Your resolve, that's another meaning. It means to make a definite, serious decision to do something. Now, I don't know. I think most of us guys, we get focused. We have intent. But I'm wondering if we aren't intentional about getting things done that really don't matter in light of eternity. I wonder if we get concentrated and focused on something, and we typically do. Especially guys that are task-oriented, we want to accomplish, we want to achieve, we want to make it happen, we want to be successful. There's nothing wrong with all that. Unless you're trying to be successful at the things that don't matter. And so a guy needs to be focused and intent and have resolve to make a definite, serious decision to do something that's worth your very life. When Jesus Christ called a man, he called him to come and die. That means his life is significant. He has purpose in life. Men want to leave a legacy. They want to leave something behind. I looked that up. It means something received from an ancestor or predecessor from the past. Could be a dad. Could be a coach. Someone in your life who has modeled something or passed something down to you that's worth something, that's valuable, that's enhanced your life, improved your life, inspired your life. Every guy needs that. Every guy needs a predecessor. Everybody needs a mentor. Everybody needs a coach that has shown them the way. And without that model, without that mentor, without that help, they'd get lost on the way. They'd be distracted. And the thing you and I have to be focused on today is we cannot be distracted from our purpose by a crumbling culture. I'm going to say that again. We cannot be distracted from our purpose by a crumbling culture. That means we need to be intent. We need to be resolved. We need to be focused. And whatever legacy you want to leave, just make sure it's a legacy that you're leaving that's going to give eternal life to those that are coming after you. It's going to point them in the right direction. This is the path, walk thou in it. Well, what path did my mentor, did my father? Now, we had fathers and we had mentors and coaches and people that we idolized and made heroes out of over the years as we grew up, only to find out they were heading in the wrong direction. We had friends. We made friends our path makers, and only to find we're going down the wrong path. And God has said, this is the way, walk thou in it. That's not the way. Blessed is a man does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. That's the wrong way. Those are the wrong people. And God has been very clear on what the right way is and what the right path is. But we still have to be focused, we have to be intent, we have to be resolved, we have to be concentrated, and we have to be dedicated to that purpose that God created us for. Now, to give us a little scripture insight into that, let's look at Matthew 28, 19 and 20. We call that the Great Commission. There are commissions, there's all kinds of commissions, but this is the Great Commission. Why is it great? Why is it greater than all others? Because God gave it to us. God put you and me on a mission. When I came to know Jesus Christ, I found, and at the time, and you guys know my story and my testimony, I was playing baseball. I just signed a contract with the Tigers. Read the Bobby Richardson story. Come to pray my prayer. Come to know Jesus. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me. Now, God had been messing with me for years. I find God messes with us. Before we ever come to Christ. You know what I'm talking about. God just messes with you. That song that we first sang, the first song they sang up here today, was a song they used to sing. What was the song? No, not that one. What's the one? What's the other one? Softly and Tenderly. Thanks, Ed. I've sat through so many grueling verses of Softly and Tenderly. Jesus is calling. And I went, he may be, but I ain't answering. So I went through a lot of tough times in the Baptist church I grew up in, listening to songs like that. And he was messing with me big time. I knew his hand was on me, and I kept doing that. And I'd go back to a service, his hand was on me, and I'd just brush it off. I don't know that I had other plans, but his plan wasn't my plan. But I had an erroneous view of who he was. And you've heard me say before, I've figured for sure if I surrender my life, if I come to the soft and tender call of God, he's going to send me to the tough place of Africa. And I don't want to go to Africa. So I wasn't taking a chance. Acts 1:8. Well, let me read Matthew 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. What more do you need? That's your commission and my commission. Have you embraced that commission and purpose for life? Do you understand what your purpose in life is? You don't know how long your life's going to be, and you don't know how God is going to have you fulfill this mission. Because we all have different gifts. We're put in different places. We're stationed in different neighborhoods and jobs and states and environments. But it's the same purpose for all of us. Purpose is to go and make disciples of all nations. Start out in Judea and Samaria, but then you're also going to go to the uttermost parts of the world. Now, from when he was given this commission over in Israel, we're the uttermost part of the world, what he was talking about. We think in terms of the uttermost part being over in Asia somewhere, or South America, or Africa. But the purpose is the same for all of us. And I guess I want to challenge you this morning. Have you embraced the Great Commission as your purpose in life? You say, well, I thought only missionaries did that. Well, aren't you a missionary? You're either a missionary or a mission field. You're one or the other. Which one are you? Everybody. You don't have to be a full-time missionary. We got them right here. Patrick, you've been in the Philippines how long, Patrick? 13 and a half years Patrick's been in the Philippines. Now, he was worse than you are when we first met him here. I mean, when he first showed up, he was a mess when he first showed up. His marriage was a mess. His life was a mess. But God got a hold of his life, and the transforming God who changes men and changes their life and gives them a new mission and a purpose and a spring in their step and a reason to get up every day and a mission to accomplish, a task to work at, to focus, to be intent on. What would that be? It would be seeing lives change, men's lives change. To see Patrick's life change, the way God changed him, transformed him. Next thing I knew, Patrick says, hey, you know what? We're going to Philippines. Heck, you say? You're going to the Philippines? What are you going to do over there? He said, I don't know. We're going to the Philippines. Now, that's a Abraham call. Abraham, God said to Abraham, pack up all your tent and all your animals and all your people and we're moving out. Where are we going? I'm not telling you. You don't need to know right now. It's just on a need-to-know basis. You just pack it up and start moving. I'll lead you to where you need to go. Most guys are going, I ain't going without a GPS. You got a good GPS for me? So what do I put into the GPS that we're going so I'll know the best path to go? No, that ain't working that way. We're not working by fear, because that's all you're giving me, fear. We're working by? Say that a little louder. Yeah, we're working by faith, not by fear. And of course, I got a GPS and I'm fearful all the time. I got that baby right there. But not when God calls me. When God calls me and says, we're moving out, here's where we're going. You don't need to know where. See, when you're free in Christ, when you're committed to His purpose, when you're committed to go and make disciples, not where you want to go, not where it's comfortable, not where it's easy, not where there's no bugs, or it's too cold or too hot, you're just going because God said go, and you're committed to the mission that He's got you on, wherever it is and whatever it means. All you want at that point is to be in the center of God's will, doing what God calls you to do. That's all you care about. You don't care where it is anymore. You don't ask questions anymore. He solved so many of my questions. I was playing baseball. You know why I was playing baseball before I came to Christ? I loved the game. I was good at it to a degree. In the lower leagues. But it was something I could do. Men like to do something they could do. And if you're going to pay me to do something I love to do, I'll take your money. Hallelujah. Wasn't much, but I didn't care. I was playing because I wanted to make the big leagues. And why? Why did I want to make the big leagues? Because I wanted to play in the big stadiums. I wanted the big meal of money. I wanted to fly on airplanes and get off this stinky bus that didn't have a bathroom in it. An A-ball. I wanted the money that came along. I wanted my picture to be on a baseball card. And every little leaguer's got one of those today, but not in those days. I've got one on my refrigerator. It's rare, but I don't know if you can afford it, Ted. Matter of fact, it was this group, when I turned 50 years old, about 48 years ago, that gave me 5 Pete McKenzie baseball cards. Now, that was my goal in life. And they're very rare and they're unbelievably expensive. So don't even ask. If you don't have six figures, just don't even ask. Caused me to lose my place here. Now here's purpose. Your life has purpose. Your personal life has meaning. The guy next to you does too. When God calls His men, God gives them purpose. And listen to John 15. You did not choose me. I chose you. In the sovereignty of God. Now, how does that make you feel? You didn't choose me. I chose you. I chose you for a good purpose. I chose you to get a job done. First, I chose you to come and know me and enjoy me and spend time with me. I created you for myself. I made you. I formed you in your mother's room. Womb. Go back and read Psalm 139. I formed you in your mother's womb before you were ever born. Before the foundations of the world were set, I knew you. And so guys go around measuring their self and their purpose and their value and their worth by what the world says and by what you can accomplish in the world and what the world claps and applauds. But they're never going to applaud you if you're living, your goal in life is to live a godly life. All those who live righteously in Christ Jesus are going to be persecuted, not applauded, and that's especially becoming more true here in our country today. And I think the guys that get knocked off their horse as they're rushing toward the battle are the guys that don't really know their purpose and aren't committed to it. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I like my church. I like the worship team there. I like the preacher there. But if it's going to cost me something, if it's going to cost me my reputation or my good name or my job or my family or my life, you got to be committed to the Great Commission. You got to have eternity on your heart to stay the course when it's under pressure. Because otherwise, your love will grow cold and you'll fall away. You may find out you never really were a believer in the first place. And so you have to make those decisions in your soul at a day like today. You don't wait until that pressure's on. You decide today what your life is all about, what you're going to give your life to. And then you start looking at everything different. You look at your bank account and the money that God has entrusted to you. You look at it differently. You don't see it the way you used to see it. Now you look at your calendar and why you spend your time and what you do. You look at the books you read. You look at your behavior in the marketplace or with your family or in your neighborhood. And you want to act differently. When I came to Jesus, I understood that I was playing baseball for a whole different reason now. I wasn't playing anymore for fame or wealth or recognition. I was playing because I knew athletes in our day are given more honor than they ever deserve. People want to hear what they have to say. People want their autograph. And for some reason, they want to hear what we have to say. And so if that's God's given me that platform, if He's entrusting that to me, I want it to count for Him. I want to play in a way, talk in a way, live in a way. And when you're on a team like that and you're traveling on buses and airplanes and you're in locker rooms for 164 games a year in the big leagues, 130 or so in the minors, You get around guys a lot. They really find out if you're the real deal and what your deal is. If you're on a team like firefighters, like John has been all his life, same thing. You're in the fire hall with these guys and they watch you and they watch how you respond. They watch what you read. They watch what you watch on the television. They watch your habits. They listen to your language. And they size you up. You know, it's a tough thing to be under that kind of pressure unless you're not under that kind of pressure because you're godly because that's who you are. Because Jesus Christ is living His life in you, and so you don't have to go and say, oh man, I got to go be Christian today at work. Because things are going to come and I'm not going to like them. I'm going to see that guy that I don't like and the boss is going to see me and he don't like me. I'm going to have that tough client I'm going to have to deal with. I'm going to have to do that task I've been putting off. And guys, understand, when I was working for the cleaners, and we were going and picking up drapes and bringing them in and getting carpets cleaned, and I was doing all that. And one of the things we did is there would be fire damage, and the insurance company had certain, you know, when they got a house that's been burned and they got smoke damage to all kinds of drapes and everything else, they'll send one of the cleaners in there to take those things out. And that's the worst job that anybody could have, and the cleaners. And I noticed that guys did everything they could do. And new guy on the block, which was Ma at that time, would get the smoke damage jobs. And the reason it was odd and a good job, because you'd come out and you'd just be black, head to toe. I mean, all this soot and everything else you're messing with. And I realized that this was an opportunity. Remember, you're working at the cleaners, not just to supply some income that you needed. You're working there because it's a mission field. So you got a purpose. You got a reason for being there. It's not just a job. It's not just a neighborhood. It's not just a family God's put you in. God's put you there to be a missionary. God's put you there on a purpose. The more you know Him, the more that you spend time in His presence, the easier that job becomes. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me and I'll give you not a task, but rest in the task. Peace in the task. And that's what God's called you to do, and it's what He's called me to do. And we need to be more focused, more on purpose than we've ever been right now. There's never been a time in your lifetime, maybe in the history of the nation that we live in the world that we live in, there's never been a time when you and I, as God's men, need to be more focused, more intent, more on purpose, more committed to what the purpose of our life is. Is that the purpose of your life? Have you decided that the purpose of my life is the gospel of Jesus Christ? And the reason I want to spend time with Him and the reason I want to spend time in the Word, there's a reason I want to do that and need to do that. I'm going to be more effective at the task and the purpose for my life if I'm a man of the Word, if I'm a man of prayer, if I've learned to be bold in my witness, if I've learned to be gentle as a dove and wise as a serpent. I need all that. And I get all that in His presence. We don't just go and say, let's go into the inner chamber and spend time with the King for nothing. Because we, out of that inner chamber, out of that time with the King, out of that time in His Word, out of that time in prayer, out of that time in fellowship like we had this morning. I mean, the prayer was unbelievable this morning up there. It was powerful. Men were pouring out their hearts. They were praying with authority. And that's what we need today. We need men that can pray with authority, that have the fervent prayer of a righteous man who's been spending time in God's presence. So when he gets out of that inner chamber, he's not just going out and wandering around. He's being sent out. That's what God does. He didn't just say, well, go get them, Tiger. Survivors make good men. Hope you make it. Now he says, lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. When you come to me, I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. It doesn't have to be this hard. Yes, I've given you a task. It's not a popular task. When Jesus says, come, he says, come and die. Die to yourself, your plans, your ego. Are you willing to do that? Because if you're going to get on the page with him, if you're going to be committed to the Great Commission, Oswald Chambers had some great quotes about that. What happens when a man really gives himself to Jesus Christ? What goes on in his life? God's purpose is to bring many sons to glory. That's a great commission. That means sons into heaven, people coming to know Jesus. That's God's purpose. He came to reconcile men to himself, and he uses bozos like us to get that job done. God's ultimate purpose is that his son might be manifested in my mortal flesh. Why? Oh, why should his purpose be that Jesus be manifested in me? Well, so people would be attracted to him through me. That means everything I do and everything I say and every countenance on my face, people are going to be either attracted to Christ or repelled. It's like one guy said, he says, a lot of people don't know Jesus because they've never met a Christian. But a lot of people don't know Jesus because they have. And so I'm either repelling or attracting to Jesus Christ by my life. My life has significance. My life has purpose. So does yours. The whole human race was created to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Sin has switched the human race to another tact. But it has not altered God's purpose in the tiniest degree. And when we are born again, we are brought into the realization of God's great purpose for the human race, which is that I am created for God. He made me. I don't belong to myself. I've been bought with a price. You got to give your life away. You got to say, I've had it with this life. I don't have an agenda anymore. It's not about me. And that's what Jesus said in the garden when he was facing the ridicule and the pain and the death. And he says, Father, if there's any way in his flesh, and we would all pray this way, and we have before at times, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, your will be done. That's all I care about. And if your will is for me to go to the cross, I am crucified with Christ. There it is right there. I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. If that's your will for me, God, if this disease is your will, if this is it, and you're going to bring me to heaven, then let me show people not just how to live, but how to die. We're all going to die. Let's show them how to do it. Let's show them how to do it with men who have hope. Men who know that in the blink of an eye, I'm going to leave here and I'll be in His presence. I don't have to be fearful. I don't have to wonder what's going to happen. I don't have to wonder where I'm going. I know. That's all been settled. It's been solved. And above all men, I'm the luckiest guy on the planet if I'm the only guy that knows that. I bet you need to know it. If you don't know it, you need to know it. But a lot of you guys do know that. But we do need to be reminded, don't we? We need someone to come along from time to time and remind us of why we're here. What the purpose of our life is. What our task and our mission is. And then we need to assess that and say, how are we doing? Am I in the place that God has called me to? God calls men to places. He assigns us and appoints us to places. I've always felt like I'm in an army. I don't call my own shots. I don't cut my own orders. I'm ordered to be in a certain place, to serve in a certain place for a certain amount of time, and I don't know how long that is. And I don't move until I get orders to move. To move out. And when He gives me orders, I don't have to know where I'm going. I know He knows where I'm going. It's His purpose that I care about. And I don't have to fear where I'm going to land or where I'm going to serve or what it's like there. Because I know being in the middle of His will is the only safe place on the planet. I don't care where it is. That's the only safe place. Are you in the will of God today? Have you decided that the Lordship of Jesus Christ means to you? I require extreme service from you. With no complaining on your part. And no explanation on mine. That's the way it is. That's the commission we've been called to. That's the God who says you're going to have to live by faith, not by sight. You're going to have to come at my calling and you're going to have to trust me. But to do that, you're going to have to throw your life away. I'm crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Paul says, I can no longer consider my life of any account as dear to myself. Guys are begging him not to go to Jerusalem. He says, I'm going to Jerusalem. No, don't go. They're jailing and killing Christians in Jerusalem. You guys are breaking my heart. Quit trying to get me not to go where God's calling me to go. Don't you understand that I consider my life no account as dear to myself, but I just want to accomplish the will of God for my life no matter what it is. That's all that matters to me. This life is short. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Jesus Christ will last. Is that the pat? Is that the? Let's give him a hand, okay? He's given us a mission. He's given us a mission. He's called us for a purpose. Your life has significance. Your life has value. Your life has worth. You get to work in the harvest field. The laborers are few. You get to be one of those few laborers, if you are. Be one. The laborers are few. And you don't have to ask where you go and what you do. Just go spend time in the presence of the King and He will direct your paths. Go repeat what I do. Where do I go? I tell you what you do. You go into the inner chamber. You get in His presence. You surrender your life to Him and He'll take it from there. I had no idea. I never wanted to be a pastor. That was not on my scope. That was not on my wish list or my bucket list or whatever list you got. And I sure didn't want to be a missionary. I've loved the last 40 years of being a missionary and a pastor. I've loved it. Because I'm doing what God called me to do. I didn't have to have an agenda of my own. I didn't have to make my own plans. God's got the plan. I just have to wait till He shows me what the plan is. And then I have to just say, okay, God. The answer is yes. What's the question? That's what lordship means. God, the answer is yes. What's the question? So guys, if we can get focused, if we can start being intent about the value of our lives, we can turn the world upside down. He turned the world upside down with 12 guys that gave their lives away. 11 of the 12 were martyred. The 10 of the 12. They gave their lives away because they didn't care and this world was not their home. So don't go wringing your hands every time that you hear another shooting or another ISIS this or terrorist that or refugees this. Let's be the church of God. Let's go minister to the refugees. Let's go minister to the poor. Nobody else really wants to do that. So we have a way to make ourselves distinctive here. Let's figure it out. In Rome, when persecuted, when they were killing and crucifying and throwing Christians to the lions, this one centurion said to his cohort, "We may be crucifying these people, but they take better care of our people than we do. Let's do that. Let's make our lives have significance." So I want to pray a blessing over you today. I don't know what God said to you. I know what He's been saying to me for a long time. I need to be reminded of this all the time. I need to be reminded of what my mission is and who I am and who I serve. And what the significance of my life is and the worth and the value of my life in the lives of others for Jesus Christ. Lock arms with somebody right there and let's pray. Father, that's what we're praying this morning. We're just praying that our lives would count for Jesus Christ, that we would take seriously this life that we have. We would take seriously that our life has meaning and value, and not what the world says, not in our goods and our services, but it has value in the hands of Jesus Christ, who's our Lord and our Savior. And Father, You'll use us and bless others through us because we've been blessed to be a blessing, even as You told Abraham. So we want to go out of here being sent men. Missionaries, in the sphere of influence You've given each one of us, honing our gifts, using our gifts, making our gifts available to You, our time available to You, our calendar available to You, our money available to You, whatever You call us to do with it. Father, it's Yours. And so, Father, we want to come one day and gather around Your throne, and we want to hear You say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." And Lord, we just are jealous for every day now that we get to serve You. When we get to heaven, we won't get to do this. We get to do it today. In the days we have left, we give it to You now in Jesus' name. And all God's men said,
amen.
Give them heaven, guys.